Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the CanadianGameDevs.com podcast. This is episode 237, actually, this time. I checked. Although, now that I've said that out loud, I'm going to check again because I feel dumb. But last week wasn't, so I had to... No, 237 of the CanadianGameDevs.com podcast. Going live for our patrons, March 26, 2024. Everyone else, March 28th, 2024. The case of my termination is still before the Ontario Labour Board. A link at the top of the show notes if you want to just read the official documentation. That's all I'm saying and putting forward, and other than cheeky comments, until I get my money. But yeah, other than that, any general life updates, Steve?
Bought a Sega Saturn.
Hell yes, brother.
Got my tax return. Well, I was just like, oh, well, I got no major life events coming up, so I might as well just buy a Sega system from the 90s.
Not even a luxury consumer electronic from this century.
No.
Go to a different century.
It blows my mind how old the PlayStation and Sega Saturn is, because I feel like I didn't hear about those things until like 1997. Like when the... Because Nintendo 64, I think, was 1995 here. Maybe 96. Like, I feel like I heard about the 64 before I heard about Saturn and PlayStation.
Right.
But I was also a stupid kid. Yeah, Nintendo was September 29th, 1986. Now, granted, even though I was a Nintendo Sega kid, I had Nintendo Power. There was no Sega equivalent of Nintendo Power. Trust me.
Sega didn't have the power.
No. They didn't. Sega, in this case, did not do what Nintendo does. So...
Yes.
So
Seg didn't.
But I played a little bit of it. Yeah, I'll talk a little bit. I didn't play that much. The sound doesn't work, so I got to buy like a new thing. But it's pretty cool. Geez. I'm now only missing Sega CD.
How does that fit in the timeline? Because
Sega CD was in the family of the shit they just tacked on to the Genesis. I don't know if it was before 32X or after.
Gotcha.
But it was an attachment to the Genesis, so it was required for it. So let's see. Sega CD was 1992 and 32X. Oh, can I just do the thing here? Sick. 32X was 1994. So CD was actually sooner.
Huh.
So, and I don't have a Mega Drive, which was like the NES equivalent, but I don't really want one. There was nothing really.
There weren't any classics on there?
My friend had one.
Was that Echo the Dolphin?
So there's a lot of like Genesis games that they just ported down. Like there's a Sonic game and shit on it. But I don't know. Whatever. There's also some random ones. Like there's... what's it called? I think they even call it Neptune. But there's some sort of like Genesis / Saturn like combo thing. Sega
is Neptune the next planet after Saturn?
It is, yeah.
Saturn, Neptune, Uranus. Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, when I search Sega Neptune, 32X comes out. Oh, game console. Canceled games. Oh, maybe it was canceled. Sega Neptune was a 32X like combined with the Genesis. Okay, never mind. So I think there's actually some of those flowing up. I have the Game Gear. So I'm just missing Sega CD and the Mega Master System, and I doubt I'll ever, like, maybe I'll just get one when I get the CD and just be like, well, I'll get one, but I there's nothing really on there for me.
No.
That I know of. Maybe I'm wrong, but my friend,
I'm smiling. I'm smiling, Steve.
Yeah, it's good shit.
I can't wait to hear more about the used game escapades.
Yeah.
But until then, you can help Steve get games for his current setup, patreon.com/KingGameDevs, and his kid and family or whatever. And me, I guess. If you help us over there, you get 2-day early access to the show, Patreon only, Discord channel, Game Key giveaways, Steve. We haven't done one in a while. Let's throw one in there this week. Take some of Steve's old codes from various tragic game bundles.
Yeah, nothing.
They've been sleeping on the latest tragedy, Steve. We're coming up on 6 months. I haven't seen a bundle. I don't think you're getting one.
Six months of what?
Of this latest Oh, don't make me do it. So I shouldn't even brought up the joke.
Which one was it?
The genocide going on in Palestine.
Oh, that one. Wasn't there?
We were glibly joking.
There was already one, wasn't there?
We usually go by, oh, what's that one called? What's the big one that they always do? Itch.io usually does one?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, there was
one. Well, I just look at Humble Bundle. I'm more than certain there was one for that.
All right, there was, and I didn't buy it. But all that to say, now we sound like bad people. Steve usually buys it, and then we have a giant list of games. All that to say, we give those away to our patrons. You can also get discounts for Canadian gaming events like XP Game Summit. Shout outs at the end of every episode, depending on the tier. Steve, we have three new patrons to shout out. Wow, that's crazy.
Damn.
We got Lurito, who's just a follow, I think. They're not actually a patron. And then we got Tom, $1 a month. Thank you, Tom. And Sean, at $5 a month. I'm pretty sure I know who Sean is, but they've left no identifying information on their profile. So I will just wait until the next time we hang out in person and see if it's them. Because they'll just smile in a way I know, you know? But I'm pretty sure they wouldn't tell me. Because I recently got coffee with one of my good friends, Sean, like last week. And we just caught up and I mentioned this. And he would be the kind of guy to just immediately go home and back us on Patreon.
Oh, nice job, Sean.
Nice. But if it's a different Sean, then thank you anyway. But I will find out. I will get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, and screw that other friend, Sean, if it's not him.
Let's screw the other Sean if it's not him. At CanadaGameDevs on Twitter. And the Discord is where all the stuff's happening. That's where the people are, Steve. Join our Discord. I want to plug some jobs. There might be a cat noise toy in the background. I'll go deal with presently. But Humanoid Games, Steve, is hiring, and we want to plug them. They're that new studio from a bunch of the old Bioware devs, and they were DMing us this week. They're promoting all full-time remote. Let me grab this cat toy. They also might come on the podcast soon, and or sometime when they're ready to talk about what they're doing, because it's their first game, and we can talk to them. That'd be cool.
Nice.
They DM'd us. But they're looking for VFX artists, senior tech designer, senior character artist, senior animator, environment artist, senior gameplay designer, senior Unreal generalist, senior 11 designer, blah, blah, blah. A lot of senior positions across art, tech, game design. Looks like they're working in Unreal. All of those are in the bottom show notes. Also, CanadianGameDevs.com/jobs. Any events, I won't plug them any more than I did last week. Say XP Game Summit coming up in June, as well as the Toronto Games Week the same week, and the Game Discovery Exhibition in July, and they are not giving everyone but Alberta free booths. They are giving free booths to everyone in Alberta. We just to clarify, it's an Alberta specific event open to else. But all those CanadianGameDevs.com/events in the show notes. That was nice, Steve. We used to shuffle paper, and we don't anymore. But it feels like every time we get to the bottom of that section, in my mind, some papers shuffle.
You don't have the sound anymore?
Well, we still have it. We just kind of stopped doing it. I don't know why. I don't know. Didn't feel. When I used to read all the events, it was more of like a 10-minute section. That felt better. But now we kind of clean it up in a minute or two.
Yeah. We got things to do. Guns to play.
Gunheads to play and Segas to burn the dust out of by running 30 years after the last person turned them on. And isn't that the best smell ever? I'll cut to a Sega song recommended by Steve, and then we'll come back. Ooh. I had to get a new chair this week. I stole it from my friend's garage.
The only time I use this chair is for this moment. And we're kind of, we got to like, you remember where the chair, like the desk is and stuff in our bedroom? Like we're sort of redoing this area because we got to have it more like take care of baby in the immediate moment proof.
Oh yeah.
So we want to get a fridge up here and a little place to heat up bottles and other shit that babies always cry about.
Babies always to be crying about shit, don't they?
Told Sophia, kind of just prepping her. We're like, yo, this baby comes, it's going to cry like all the time. It's going to wake us up like all the time. Just prepare. And she's like, did I cry? I'm like, fuck, man. Did you ever?
I still cry, so I get it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of crying, a bunch of the people in the IGN union got fired, terminated, right? A couple of days after they unionized. And I just want to highlight that. Just to say, fact record, top of the show notes, A couple of days after I unionized my company, I was fired. Terminated, sorry. And it's just, it's happening everywhere. And have you seen that clip of the Alphabet unionized workers, the Google workers, who were, like, in front of the labor board having their hearing, like, heard for the unfair labor practice charge, similar to the one I have right now? And they found out during the live stream in, on the stand, that they were fired.
Give us the motivation to keep this fight
not
going.
Not to interrupt, but they just laid us all off.
Oh.
Yeah. They just laid us all off.
We just all, I guess we just all
our
got
jobs
off.
Are ended today, effective immediately.
And so I think this is just like, not to like, you know, be doom and gloom right off the start of the news section, but I don't think unionizing does anything anymore, at least not what it used to, because, you know, they will just fire you, and then they'll do it in the middle of the stream where you're pressing charges through the official channels for doing that, right? Like, and they're going to get away with it. I'm 99% sure that's what I'd bet on. So mm-hmm. I don't know. Whatever saves this, it might not be a union, but I think the IGN people are going the way of the Alphabet Workers Union, and generally probably the way of the National Labor Board if, you know, Apple and Microsoft and Amazon and all these people have their way. So, yeah, it's tough. Just stop working. Take all your work somewhere else or stop doing it, or I don't know, but then you can't pay rent, and it's kind of a tough little situation there. What do you think?
The first time I'm hearing of it, I'm just looking at their Twitter right now. Three of them laid off and basically just asking everyone to spam Pierre Schneider and these other dudes who I don't know, John Davison and Yale.
Yeah, a bunch of IGN folks.
Yeah, President Ziff Davis, blah, 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 blah. I sent you a joke, by the way. That's union specific.
Oh, no.
On Facebook. No, I got, there was a posting about a non-union, like, non-paid, like,
oh, yeah.
Like, job, like, thing.
Casting
for a,
call.
Yeah, for a movie in the area and stuff. So I just joked about that.
Ununionized so, acting.
So Reddit, or is Kotaku going to write about this, eh?
Yeah, good question. They wouldn't write about me when I asked in my situation. So, because they're a bunch of cowards. Kenneth Shepard is a coward.
So
he won't write about unions.
How big is the IGN Creators Guild? Like, how big is the union? Because it's three people. So I'm like,
right.
I'm like, is that 3 out of 10, or is that 3 out of 100? And I'm just like, eh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how many people work for IGN. I don't know how many people are in this union. There's a huge letter here, and I'm not going to read it like right now. So. It's kind of shitty.
Might not, okay, the guild is currently made of 80 members, 87% who authorized the union through signing cards. So another near unanimous one, but 80 people, so 3. And that's probably pitched like it was in my position. I was like, oh, yeah, we had it. Just it's just normal, not related to their unionizing a few days ago. And, you know, this is just what we do. And that'll be the argument they make to the labor board. But no, and I don't even care if it wasn't, like, if it literally was, like, planned layoffs. The appearance of a conflict of interest, as we're taught in journalism, is a conflict of interest. You fire a bunch of people right after they unionize. You fired them because they unionized. Like, I don't care, Steve. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what you did. Mm-hmm. And it could be, like, literally the plan, like, they had the whole time. And, like, I don't care. Get them their jobs back and unionize all the other games industry outlets and studios. And we'll see if that does anything. It might not. It might not work.
Hopefully it does. I don't know.
Hopefully it does. So what happened was the BAFTAs announced all their nominees, and Baldur's Gate 3 is nominated for a bunch, and so is Venba. And then at the Game Developers Choice Award, Baldur's Gate 3 won pretty much everything, and then Venba won Best Debut in the Social Impact Award. So yeah, Venba is winning a lot, and Baldur's Gate continues to win a lot, and those are just Canadian games in the news. The BAFTAs will air April 11th. And there's a bunch of Canadian games. Canadian games are basically just that, like, every award show's social impact, or, like, these are the games with blue-haired gay protagonist category, because, like, Goodbye Volcano High was in there and a bunch of other games from Canada. So, yeah, I tweeted out that, and they retweeted it. Well, not that specifically. They wouldn't retweet that. I said it more appropriate for Twitter. Yeah, they liked that. So a bunch of Canadian games in there. And I guess the last bit of news I want to plug this week because it is a big anniversary. I was at for two studios, actually. So Coco Cucumber Co. in Toronto recently celebrated 10 years of making independent video games. Wow. How about that, Steve?
There you go.
Raven Walk, their most recent hit, went on to sell 500,000 copies within 6 weeks. And they have recently, here's a bit of on-the-ground reporting I've been doing as I scour these Canada Media Fund and Ontario Creates grants. They actually recently won a CMF for Ravenlock 2. They got $1.5 million. And they are
for,
not...
For a sequel?
Yes, sir. Ravenlock Ooh. 2. Is the only They only get the title, the recipient, and the amount. And, yeah, $1.5 million, which was the size of the grant I worked on. So imagine winning that. That's probably a great feeling. Congrats to Coco Cucumber Go. And did you play Ravenlock? I forget, Steve.
I think I played for like an hour or so because it was on Game Pass. Mm. But I haven't. I didn't play that much of it. I liked what I played, but I haven't played that much of it.
Whoa, this is the exact amount. Not the exact amount. I wonder if someone else says no or gives the money back. Because there's different rounds of funding, and this one is selected in round two. More on-the-ground reporting to be had. I liked Echo Generation. That was the last one I played from them. But then I think we both enjoyed Riverbond quite a bit, their debut.
No, the Riverbond wasn't their
debut. What was the debut one again?
Planet of the Eyes.
Oh, yeah. That's one I didn't play. That's before I started following them. I think Riverbond was their first release when I was with Canadian Game Devs. So that's why I associate it.
How do I say this? A little bit of like poor man's Limbo, but I liked it. Mm.
Yeah, no, the Red Meat Games, when I worked there, they celebrated 10 years, 2023. Joy Drop, when I worked there, also celebrated 10 years. And now Coco Cucumber Go, celebrating 10 years. Co-op celebrated 10 years. A bunch of big indie studios are hitting 10 years, although half the ones I mentioned... The two I worked at didn't go very far, but we're hitting that point in this industry, in Canada specifically, where you're getting a bunch of these indie teams hitting their stride, Steve.
So of these four, Ravenlock, Echo Generation, Riverbond, Planet of the Eyes, what are you thinking, Riverbond?
That's probably my favorite. Although Echo Generation's the one I want to get back to and beat, because I was enjoying the older brother, little sister, Stranger Things story.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat.
Good. All right, we'll play something from... No?
Well, no, we can't. They don't usually mess with PlayStation, which is always, like, strange. They get the game, but they get the Game Pass money.
They do. Phil Spencer said Ravenlock was his favorite game that year. Games that year. Yeah, he loved Ravenlock. He talked about it. Putting on his list. Yeah.
Is it still? Okay, I'm going to... Hold on. Game Pass. Actually, I don't even think I'm a Game Pass person right now.
No, I'm not. A lot of people I know just lapsed, and it probably...
It's just like, if you're not actively using it, then like why... Like there's no penalty for just canceling it and then just re-upping.
Waiting for Halo or Gears or whatever is next.
Or whatever. Whenever you can... Yeah, exactly. So it's
or whatever studio they buy and shove on.
I'll chill. Game Pass.
They re-add. They're eventually waiting for some license to expire so they can add every Call of Duty game at once to Game Pass.
Ravenlock is still on there, though, so I might have to... is that Echo Generation?
I think it was.
Yeah, I'm looking. I'm telling you it is.
Oh, okay. Echo Generation is too?
Echo Generation's not on there. On Game Pass.
Right.
Riverbond, I'm pretty sure I got 100... Or 1,000.
It was a free game too, wasn't it? A couple times, different places.
Potentially. These games just never... Yeah, they just never... Like, Echo Generation, I don't think ever even... No, I don't want Amazon Echo, Google, God damn it.
No one wants Amazon.
Maybe Steam Deck. Maybe I just gotta get these on Steam Deck then. Anyways. All right. Cool. Good job, Coco Cucumber.
It's so hard to say. Coco Cucumber Co. Say it 10 times fast.
No, it's fine.
Let's move over to some game releases, Steve. I got two I want to plug. First, Crypt of the NecroDancer DLC coming at us from Brace Yourself Games in Vancouver. It's called Crypt of the NecroDancer Synchrony. It's out now on everything. Got the trailer plugged there. I like Crypt of the NecroDancer. They got that 80s one, Riftbreaker, coming out. That one got nominated for our most anticipated Canadian game. And Brace Yourself is just one of those one of those indie studios, speaking of studios hitting their stride, that has like hit their stride. They have let them into their zone, to quote, you know, Kanye and Jay-Z. And they are in that zone, still making Crypto the Necrodancer DLC. That's crazy. Steve, pertinent to you, St. Catherine's based developer behind The Veil, Shadow of the Crown, has brought it to PlayStation. This is that no visual RPG I've mentioned before. I looked at for working on Red Meat Games' Project Dark. It's also out on Switch, but you don't care about that, and it's garbage anyway. Although I will say, a game that is only audio, no visuals, it'll probably run on Switch. Maybe. I don't know. The Switch is garbage. But
it'll still somehow run at 15
yeah, a second. The character voices just start getting really choppy. Like, it will... you. And then that's the Switch Veil. No, I'm kidding. It's probably great. The few software I have played from them worked well on the platforms I played it on. So yeah, those are out now. And congrats to those guys.
I'm gonna add the Veil to my wish list on PlayStation, so you can
excellent
do what you do.
That's it for news.
$27 is that how much it is on Steam?
The Veil Steam. There might be the console port bonus. No, $22.79 on Steam, but it's been out on Steam for a while.
Yeah, that's fair.
I wonder if it uses the controller in any fun ways, because it's like an audio-based game. Could do some fun stuff with the DualSense 5, you know what I mean?
I do.
Okay, we'll cut to a song from The Veil and wishlist some games. Alright, Steve, crack open your Steam, or potentially Steam Deck, to wishlist some Canadian games. Two of these come out from our Discord.
I'll just do it on
the Normie platform. The other one I crowdsourced from Steam. First up, Banner of Blood by... I'm sorry, it's a Chinese name, I believe, or... Jin Yan Zhang in Ottawa, releasing TBD. You can wishlist on Steam. Quote, an ever-shifting action RPG rich with rogue-like elements. Lead your troops across randomly generated battlefields as a commander. Feed your army with scarce resources. Clash blades with savage orcs and call a hail of arrows to vanquish monstrous foes. It's a rogue-like hard K. One of the set, it's the top three tags, Steve: action, roguelike, replay value. I love replay value. This feels like a student ass game. I love when the game developer on Steam is just some guy's name. I'm like, yes, this is just some guy making this. But there's like art and shit. Like, if you look at the third last screenshot, there's like a beautiful, detailed, illustrated peasants crossing a thing and like an event happening, but then the art of the items in game is like kind of choppy, pixely, like a short hikey, but then all the characters are kind of like those weird paper conjoined guys from like Monty Python, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of art styles going on, but it works. Like it's working. You can it's one of those, what do they call those games where like you move in and out of the screen, like Simpsons arcade style, and then you get guys left or right?
Beat 'em ups.
Yeah, kind of like that perspective, but you're doing
all
the activities.
It kind of is just giving me vibes of, I mean, Castle Crashers was medieval, but you know what I mean? Like it's a medieval, like Castle Crashers, like not cartoony.
Mm.
And that's kind of the vibe I'm getting. Multiplayer, whoever this person is, they need to get multiplayer in this, that's for sure.
It's got gifts in the Steam description, gameplay core features, regroup your troops. The capital calls for aid. The people not stand alone. Lead your people to reform the line. Yeah, it looks like you're going out protecting the lands, but you fail over and over, as you do.
In roguelikes. And just in general, as you do.
as I do. Steve, is Banner of Blood from Ottawa-based Xin Yang Zen on your Steam wish list?
There you go. Yeah. Yes, it is. Did you like Google that during no. all that to for pronounce?
Just okay. Off the dome. That good. My social credit score should be through the roof, Steve. Number two is Abyss Crew from PGM Studio, which is partly in Montreal, partly somewhere I don't care about. I barely care about Montreal. It's in early access until they say, quote, early 2024, quote. But we're hitting the last week of March, and I don't know, when Q1 usually ends April 1st. So I'm going to give them till the end of April, but they have been still publishing updates on Steam January, February, and it is, you know, got people reviewing it. So it is active in early access, quote, Abyss Crew is a multiplayer co-op game aboard a steampunk submarine. Oh, they almost got me there. Each player is a member of the submarine crew, pilot, gunner, sonar, or engineer. Explore the abyss to find precious mineral, but beware as sprawling menaces lurk in the darkness. Ooh, that's a good scene description.
So, is this like one player controls like the steering, another player controls the radar and stuff?
Yeah, basically.
Like that?
Everyone's at a different terminal, like, working together.
What was that? Dangers in
Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time.
Yeah, that's the one.
The other terminal.
But underwater.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah, it looks like all the terminals are kind of same ish. The art style is kind of like. Remember the hacking minigame in Bioshock? It's kind of like. Yeah. It's kind of like that. Gifts in the Steam description. Ah, we've been on a tear of good Steam page descriptions with good gifts in them. Won a bunch of awards in 2018 and 2019, and it's been in early access for a bit. Planned, again, releasing soon. Oh, yeah, look, it's on sale until April 1st. Interesting. I wonder if that'll coincide with any particular end of early 2024. I don't know, but what do you think, Steve? Abyss Crew.
Yeah, I mean, it gives me that vibes of the Lovers in Dangerous Space Time.
Very different style. Yeah. Steel Diver?
3DS, like, no, it was like a 3DS, like, submarine game.
Was it not Steel Diver?
Was it Steel Diver?
Yeah, Steel Diver for the 3DS.
Yeah, okay. Giving me that vibes, obviously.
The interior of this submarine with these four different colored chairs representing our four co-op players feels like a PC click adventure game from like the late
90s. Where is that? That's what I'm trying to find. Oh, okay. Now I see it.
Yeah. Yeah. But if that, like the pipes and stuff feel like one of those old PC games with early, very early 3D visuals. You know what I mean?
That's the vibe I'm getting too. Like 90s PC of just like the clicking.
Grim Fandango. Those kind of games. We should play this together. I'll be the pilot. You can be the second coolest guy.
We need four people.
We need a Scotty. We need a Bones. We need a Kirk, and we need a Spock. If Star Trek's taught me anything.
Yo, this is clutch, though. Can I invite my friends to play with me for free? Yes. When you buy the full version, you can host a game. Your friends can download the friend pass and join your game. Hosting the game allows you to set up all the parameters, map, submarine type, difficulty, etc.
Also, they also say price is fixed during early access and upon release, so this sale might not have anything to do with anything. All right, Steve, is Abyss Crew from partly Montreal-based PGM Studio on your Steam wish list?
Yes, it is. Sorry, I'm exhausted. And it's not because of this game.
But, it's not because of Abyss Crew. It's because of your lifestyle.
Yeah.
All right, Steve.
It's because I don't have Abyss Crew yet. Is what
A 17-dot waves, which looks like a freaking, I don't know, what's a good burn? Childish Gambino album. It's a song title, ass name. I don't know why I'm burning them. By Pear Tree Games in Vancouver, BC. Quote, 17-dot waves is an online co-op tower defense game for 2 to 4 players.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. No, I put this at the end because I was like, oh, yeah, Steve likes tower defense games. I'll put this one at the end because he mentioned in the last podcast, tower defense game. There you go, Steve.
I got that. I got that game on. Oh, no, I closed the browser, but I did have it because it releases tomorrow, Engineered to Purpose.
Yes, from
releases tomorrow. And I was Helium talking crew. I was talking to the dev in Discord. And they don't know if it's verified, if it'll work on Steam Deck. So
you might break that news.
Yeah, exactly. I'll have the scoop. So stay tuned.
stay tuned to find out.
Anyway, sorry.
Their game is. But 17 Waves, quote, strategize with your teammates to build, upgrade, and maintain your towers to defend your base from hordes of enemy monsters. Classic premise. The art style, though, is more like, tough. It's very low poly because there's the there's like that literal like polygonal mountains where it's just a triangle. And the perspective's the same as that first game we actually looked at, kind of Banner of Blood. But
It feels more top downy.
Like bigger map. More zoomed out.
Kind of like an RTS feel almost. Like there's just like a map that you move around and have your dudes. I gotta watch this trailer though.
You basically control the guys on, like, you move them around these islands that have paths, and you can set up your things, upgrade them, and then stuff moves along the path. You played it, Steve, but I think the big gimmick here is working together. And coordinating. What do you think? Would we play this? Would you play this with me?
There's a demo, too. It's unknown on Steam Deck, too. So.
Okay, will you find out?
Yeah, throw it on the list.
I'll play the demo. Is no Steam description gifts, but that's okay. They have all their verbs. Build, mine, upgrade, deposit, defend. We'll host a join code connection system. There's no lobby for players to search for a game. One player will host, the other will join. Standard indie approach to that. Any other thoughts on this tower defense, Steve?
I think it looks pretty cool. Throw it on the demo list. I have that whole list on my Steam Deck, but Deep Rock Galactic's taking up my time on in terms of Steam Deck. So,
will you add... Oh, geez, I looked away from the page.
17 dot waves.
17 dot waves. Well, I wonder why it's called. Oh, waves of enemies. That's got to be it. Just put that together. From Vancouver-based Pear Tree Games on your Steam wish list.
Yes, I did.
Cool. Let's cut to a game from this. Cut to a game. Cut to a song from this game. Talk about some other things and get out of here, Steve. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right, Steve, we had a discussion in Discord that might not be worth bringing up here. Should you be able to DM someone that you're just in a Discord with? Yes or no? I say no. You should have to. Well, like in our Discord, the rule is, I should clarify, this came up in our Discord this week. We have a rule where you can't DM someone if they haven't agreed in the Discord, like, hey, yeah, let's take it to a DM. And then some people are like, oh, that kind of defeats the free DMing spirit of other devs Discords I'm in, where you can just take something to a DM. Without punishment, but I don't know. It's kind of, we apparently are one of the only servers. I've heard the one person say a bunch of servers don't have this, another person say a bunch of servers do. Where do you come down on the random DM?
I think the spirit of it is that we didn't want people to like just spam others with just, because we have a lot of developers and a lot of people in positions where they could potentially buy shit or just get pitched. We get emails all the fucking time of just stuff. So the spirit of it was like, people just don't message people being like, can I work at your dev factory place? Can I, you know, I got this thing that will increase your blah, blah, blah by fucking whatever. Mm-hmm. Like that was the spirit of it. Cause people would, like for some reason, psychologically people don't do that in the open where they just like start adding people and be like, can I work for you? Can I work for
well,
you?
Well, some stuff. People so don't, but
some people don't, but then there's bots and kind of just like children or whatever join. So that's kind of like where I was on there. And I think it was just sort of like the other thing was a lot in our Discords, people just talk about game dev and just talk about starting their own sort of stuff. And if it gets to the point where they are just talking about something that they want to work on together, then they can just like DM each other.
Yeah, I agree.
It's also like a pretty easy thing. Like you can kind of also, but in general, like you can, to play devil's advocate a bit, you can kind of tell the people that are not genuine because it's just like a hey with a wave sign. And then I don't even fucking spend any time with them.
Yeah.
And then they'll just be like, oh, is this your Steam account? I saw it was blah, blah, blah. You know that one.
I know that one.
So I don't know. I'm fine with it, to be honest.
Me too. We are going to keep it this way, but I just want everyone to know it was brought up and discussed. And I'll put a link to the Discord show notes. But that's all that I remember talking about in Discord this week. I'm trying to get more active in there. I'm doing the game. I'm talking about movies and games and stuff. Sharing videos of food.
I shared because I bought the Sega Saturn. The only, three Sonic games were released for Sega Saturn.
Which three?
One of them is Sonic R, which is the R is for racing.
Of course.
And it's actually, I played it on PC like back in the day, and I remember like having fun with it, but I'm sure it's kind of shitty. Another one is Sonic 3D Blast, the first 3D.
Oh, I've seen that one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have it on Genesis, made by the people, Traveler's Tales, who do all the Lego shit.
Huh.
And then Sonic Jam, which I believe was like a compilation of the Genesis Sonic games, just sort of like ported over or whatever.
Named after the famous song, I presume, where they say "Pump the jam, pump it up." Why if you're slumped them?
Probably. So it only had those three games. You know, one of them is just Genesis games. Another one is a port of a Genesis game, and the other one is just a racing game. So it didn't get like a proper Sonic game. So I posted Sonic R is like $200. So I was talking to Dragon about that because he's actually a fan of some of the Sonic racing games.
Sonic R Star Racing's Transformed is pretty good. It's the one I've played.
I bought one on Xbox. So because we went to a video game store and Sophia like just saw it, and she doesn't know any better. So she saw some Sonic game and she wanted that because, you know, she's a smart person and wants Sonic games. So I bought that on Xbox and I forget what it is, but it was pretty fun. It was all right.
Excellent. I haven't plugged Kickstarter Corner in a while, but a recent discovery I made is you can sort by Canadian. So if you look at that link I have at the top there, newest Canadian Kickstarters, just click that. So it's filtered by video games from Canada coming by newest. So you can actually see every currently in progress. So there's 5 in progress Canadian Kickstarters. And then you can see all the planned ones and just keep loading, which is helpful for me because a bunch of these also have Steam pages, so that was helpful too. But it is also nice to just see, oh, interesting, look at all these games coming up. And then there were a couple, like there's 2 of the 5 currently active that I'm actually kind of interested in. Like 17 Waves is one of them, so they're going to get a Kickstarter as well as this, you know, Steam page and project and community they're growing. But Star Rising, Collect the Light, Defeat the Night has this really cool art style, and it is another card game. So, you know, deck building card game is you know, becoming the, hey, it has a battle royale of games now, but it's got a really cool art style. It's made in Bridgewater, which is like an hour from Halifax, and I drove through all the time, and I have friends there. And that's where they a bunch of people who work like 30 minutes away at the HB Studios, who does the 2K games, PGA 2K games, I should say. So I bet this is someone who like broke off from that or was from that game dev scene working on Star Rising. But I just wanted to highlight that one. 20 days left, 4% funded. They got 2K of their 45K goal. Pretty interesting.
Nice. Yeah, I didn't know you can do this, so this is pretty sweet. I'm looking. Can you sort by popularity? Curious what like the top one right now.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just filters.
Show me video games, projects from Canada, sorted by popularity, more filters.
Huh. No, Kickstarter's changed this search thing since last time I perused here. So Kickstarter Corner may return. I don't have a sound for it or anything. That's okay.
The only 2 that show up that raised over $1 million is Crowns Worm, yep. Warren, and right Sea of Stars.
Crowsworn? Crowns? Something like that. Yeah, they're in London, Ontario.
There's quite a few here. Chefs are, so the ones that are higher than 100,000, lower than 1 million, The Big Catch, Chef RPG.
Oh, yeah.
Elements, Rimworld, Halcyon's. Oh, Halcyon 6. Fuck yeah, I forgot about that one. Man, what are they up to? Massive Damage Inc. I forgot about those guys. I hope they're still around. Massive
Damage. Can you hear my girlfriend in the background or no?
No.
Okay.
Oh, shit. Wait, no. What am I looking at here? Oh, we haven't done this one. Oh, dude. Here, we'll save it. We'll save it. But we got to put this on the wish list.
Good, good, good. Put it down in the section under with store pages.
No, I just DM'd you in Discord. That's all I want to do.
Okay. There might be some hairdryer sounds in the back of this.
Give That's me a fine. Sec. I can't hear it. I can't hear it.
Foundation. I'm using a different mic. Oh, Foundation, the Polymorph Games was a Kickstarter. That's interesting.
The Long Dark was kickstarted.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So was, I believe, what's that other big Canadian one? Kit Fox, the Boyfriend Dungeon was a huge Kickstarter. They made a bunch of money there. They also, we didn't cover, they did a Boyfriend Dungeon tabletop role-playing game, like a 20 to 30 page or 40 pager, and I think they sold it. But I couldn't figure out if the person who made it was Canadian or not. But it is Canadian in the sense that the studio made the game it's based on is.
Yeah. Cool. This is a cool, actually, this is a cool list. Even just to see the ones that did
make a bunch of money.
Yeah.
No, CMF has a, I should link the CMF one too, but you can also filter every year the CMF by like type of money. And yeah, so that's, I think, how I confirmed they're working on Ravenlock too, because I didn't see it anywhere else other than the CMF website. Tell me about Gunhead, Steve.
Boom. So I played, I didn't play very much. I played like an hour and a bit. So Cryptarch is the game that came before. That is basically this game, but it's a 2D kind of, like you're not really platforming, like you're floating in space and stuff like that. It's a rogue, the one where you don't level up, rogue.
Right.
You go from space to space, ship to ship, and it's very, it's very just like capitalistic, like, oh, you got to like get the money for the jobs and keep doing the jobs and blah, blah, blah. And I liked it, but it was so hard. So Cryptarch, that's a pretty, it was an early-ish PS3 game. But check that one out. But anyways, Gunhead is the first person shooter sequel or whatever, the same game to it. And very similar, like you're definitely kind of floating around and just shooting shit. And the key kind of thing here is that you get the ship that's sort of randomly generated and you have to destroy like the brain of the ship. But before you can do that, there's like different parts that you have to destroy first that make the ship easier. So if you just go straight to the brain, you'll get fucking wrecked. Or if you're really good, you'll do it. But you can go to the part of the ship that controls like the turrets and destroy that, and then all the turrets are gone. Then you can go to the other part of the ship that controls like the locked doors, and then when you destroy that, all the doors are open, so you can just go wherever you want and just find all the stuff. So there's like little pieces like that. And then they throw in like little elements of like, you know, try to be within a certain time, try to find a hidden artifact, like all that sort of stuff. So it's a bullet, like I would call it more of a bullet hell shooter than like a platformer, I guess. Like I said, I only played like an hour of it on PS5, but I'm enjoying it. I didn't get to game much on PS5 this week, so that was fun. The other game that I sort of played was Alone in the Dark, which is basically just poor man's Alan Wake 2. It basically is just trying to be Alan Wake 2.
Isn't this a remake or is this a
it's just like game? It's just another one in the Alone in the Dark franchise. I don't know if any of the games have like a coherent story, like a Resident Evil sort of lore or Silent Hill sort of lore. I played the first one on PC in like 1992.
Oh, this is it. This is it, Steve. This is another one of those. Now there's Alone in the Dark bracket 1992 bracket 2024 bracket.
You know, it's probably another one. I think there's a 2008 one as well. I think the
There's three.
I'm only like an hour or so into it, but it's like imagine a less polished Alan Wake 2, but it's pretty solid. I think like survival horror games have just had some like bangers lately. Alan Wake 2, Resident Evil 4, Dead Space, Resident Evil 2 Remake, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That when like games that come along that are just kind of meh, like Callisto Protocol and Alone in the Dark, they get like shit on pretty hard. But I think there's some good stuff in Alone in the Dark for sure. And then, I picked up a Sega Saturn. I have two games for it, Virtual Fighter 2-1, which I have no interest in playing because I hate that series. It's just fucking brutal. but the other one is X-Men Children of the Atom. which I didn't even know was a game. It's basically X-Men versus Capcom, but without the Capcom part. So it's like the first game in that sort of series where it's like that kind of fighter, like exaggerated character models, cartoony, arcade.
Does Hulk rip up the ground?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like always jumping up and shit like that. So I played a little bit of that. It was fucking dope. I was like, yo, this is sick, man. And I don't know. I'm for some reason getting nostalgia for a game system I never even owned and played very little of growing up. I had a friend who had one.
It's probably a German word for nostalgia for a game system you never owned but played a little of growing up.
Probably. Nostalgia for something you didn't actually experience as a kid. So it's pretty sweet. I'm enjoying it. But yeah, my Saturn doesn't have sound. So I'm talking to the guy who sold it to me. He told me, he's a friend of mine. So we're trying to just figure something out. So I don't have sound at the moment. And I'm just looking at some other games. The problem with Saturn is some of the banners are just ridiculously expensive. The RPGs are $500-$600.
Ugh.
Which I'm never, ever going to do. But there's some games on there that I'm pretty interested in. Nights into Dreams is probably the most famous Saturn game, along with Panzer Dragoon and some
Knights,
other ones. But
N-I or K-N-I?
No, Night is in the time of day.
Interesting, okay.
You've seen it. If you search Nights into Dreams, you've seen that clown.
Oh, yeah.
Female clown girl. There was a Wii sequel, actually.
Interesting.
So I'll get that because that's actually not surprisingly that expensive. There's an Independence Day game. Fuck you.
That's awesome.
I want to get.
That sounds so cool.
But yeah, so I had very little time to play games this week. So
that's the issue when we have these weekly, when we say we do, is there's less time to play in between and less games that we've played because I have also only just played Helldivers 2 and Overwatch 2, and both I don't have much more to say about. Although, I don't know, it's funny, I went back and listened to the episode I recorded with Jake way back in June, and at that time I was like, I don't know about Overwatch 2, man, I think it's dying, I think I'm going to get out soon, but no, I'm still in. And it was now that my girlfriend likes playing it too that we both play it. But we did take a bit of a forced tolerance break, 2 weeks, didn't play any of it, and then we only played it with other people because we were playing a bit too much. But
yeah, I have a friend who played it all the time, and then when 2 came out, she played it for a month or two, and she hasn't played. Basically, when she got Baldur's Gate 3, she's like, "I'm done with Overwatch." She doesn't. I don't think she's played it since.
There is going to be a game to defeat it. I don't know what it is yet. It might be the Elden Ring DLC. It might be the Stardew Valley patch. I don't know. Something needs to destroy my friend group's. Affliction.
It's on Helldivers 2?
Maybe it is, man. Well, no, because it has to get the girls in the friend group off of Overwatch. And Helldivers 2 will not do that.
Alone in the Dark, maybe?
Absolutely not. No, it's something. It's a game I don't know about yet, maybe, or hasn't released yet, but something will dash the Overwatch 2 hold on my friend group soon, and I can't wait.
Hmm.
Cool. Until then, you can hop over to Discord and try and give me a suggestion for what that could be. You can go to CanadianGameDevs.com for news, events, everything we talked about. And you can go to Patreon.com/CanadianGameDevs where Steve, we have a new credited patron to thank at the end of every episode. So thank you so much, Sean, Yahoo! As well as Aaron McLeod, Davey, Dougsy, Eleanor, Elizabeth Avery, Kai Hutchins, Nicholas Azorko, and Slaughter Neko. Drop us a review on every service you're on if you can. Contact@CanadianGameDevs.com for any feedback. All right, Steve. You go lie down. I'm going to go unpack some of my girlfriend's stuff into my apartment. Our apartment. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah.
Bro, and, I'm exhausted. So.
And we'll see you all next time.
Bye. You must have been warned against letting the golden hours slip by, but some of them are golden only because we let them slip by.
J.M. Barrie.
I don't know if I get that.
I see what they mean. Well, it means like if you're constantly waiting for golden hour, like that time of the day where the sun looks perfect and everything's, you know, right with the world, then you'll miss what could be a golden hour in front of you if you just looked at it differently.
That's like the Bible one with the flooding. And he's like, no, God will get me, bro. Don't worry about it. And he dies. Yeah. And God's like, guy, I fucking sent three things for you, dipshit.
Yeah. Sir James Matthew Barrie was the first baronet of a Scottish novelist and playwright, but best remembered as the creator of Peter Pan. There you go. That's fun. Wrote several successful novels and plays.
More than I've done.
It's true. All right, Steve.